Girls of the Great War by Frieda Lightfoot, performed by Anne Flosnick. She was running as fast as her legs could carry her, constantly tripping her up, and a blanket of trees towering around so that she could barely see where she was going. The sound of heavy feet pounded behind, filling her with panic. Was he chasing her again? Would she be captured? Breathless with fear, she ran all the faster, knowing what would happen if she did not escape. She could feel her heart hammering, tension freezing every limb. Then pain rattled to her back with merciless precision. She felt utterly powerless and vulnerable, petrified of what might happen. A hand tapped her cheek, and she jerked awake in panic. "Wake up, Martha. It's time for breakfast." Staring into her mother's eyes, the young girl gave a small sigh of relief. So this had been yet another nightmare, a trauma she suffered from constantly. The emotion attached to it always cloaked her in absolute terror. At least she had managed to sleep a little last night, which was never easy. Tension would mount within her whenever she went to bed, no longer a relaxing time. Now pain and fear escalated through her once more, and she cried out in agony. It seemed that having spent nearly 5 months virtually locked away in her room, she was now about to give birth, although she had only just turned 17. A part of her longed to vanish into oblivion, to disappear back into the world she'd once enjoyed, not least her happy and privileged childhood. Why had all that gone wrong after her beloved father died? Would she now die? Many women did when suffering this traumatic event. Would the good Lord take her to heaven? Her soul having no real attachment to him, it was doubtful he would trust in her innocence and accept her. Nor did her mother, who'd made it clear she didn't believe a word her daughter said. She no longer viewed her as respectable, and had offered no sympathy or support, declaring that no one must ever learn of her condition. Martha gazed up at the window, her blue eyes glittering with desolation. How she ached to catch a glimpse of the sun, the cliffs, and the sea. Oh, and how she missed her life. Her mind flicked back to the young man she'd once grown fond of. He was most handsome, dressed in baggy trousers, and lived in one of the fishermen's huts. Whenever he wasn't away at sea, working in smacks and yawls to catch fish, he'd be in a local pub eating, drinking, or gambling. He also spent much of his time sitting by the harbour mending nets. They'd sometimes listen to the band down on the bay, along with crowds of spectators, or watch a concert and dancing. Claiming he adored her, he'd give her sweet kisses and had her name tattooed onto his arm. Then one day, when she'd excitedly hurried to meet him as usual, he told her he was off to America, in search of a new life, having become bored with fishing. She'd felt utterly devastated. He was so charming and helpful over her family problems that she was almost falling in love with him. How she missed him, but if he was still around, why would he ever agree to marry her? Now water suddenly flushed out of her, and the sound of her screaming echoed around the room, bouncing against the shutters that blocked the window. Over the next several hours, she sank into more agony, with no doctor or midwife around to help, only Enid, her maid, and of course, Mama.